recorded live at 4ZZZ Studios and broadcast across Brisbane on 102.1 FM.
You're listening to Zed Games, where we bring you the best in gaming news, reviews, community and culture.
Want to get in touch? Text in on 0420 626 733.
G'day, Cheekies. Welcome to Zed Games. How you guys doing? I'm here in studio with
Evie,
Kaylin,
Steve.
I'm back to Steve again.
Welcome,
why did
Steve.
I do that?
Welcome, Steve.
It's a repeat performance.
Our new person, little Stevie. How you doing?
Not too bad. It's Koshy.
It's Koshy. Yeah. And that's at his Twitch as well. So give him a cheeky follow if you.
It's the whole reason I did that, by the way. It's just like, I'm smart.
Plug myself.
I'm going to plug myself.
Shamelessly plugging.
So,
what's my Twitter handle? Quickly. I can't remember. Never mind.
My Twitter handle is at millionaire.
Mine's
follow
underscore me son.
I think. Me Sunny.
Me Sunny.
It?
Yeah. With an I. To it. Oh, God.
EVZ Games, I think it is.
Yeah, EVZ Games. All caps.
EVZ Games.
EVZ Games.
You should have made it EV Games.
Should just constantly screaming at you. That's
EV
the only
games.
Way.
That's
disappointing. Someone already took it.
Yeah, some.
I get the pun.
I know. Yeah. I love the pun.
It's like I can't have Me Sun because someone's already got it. It's like. Thanks.
Yeah, but what a douche.
Yeah, just have a stupid really name that no one's ever gotten before, and then that all can be completely fine.
At It's Koshy.
Yeah. Exhibit A.
With a Z.
At It's Koshy. Koshy Licious.
Koshy Licious.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
It's
change your Twitter to that. Oh my God.
It's my stage model name.
You don't have a face for radio, honey. You should be out there. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can be on stage.
Go on. Put a bikini on. Get out there.
Yeah.
Mankini specifically.
Ooh. Yeah. It's a one piece, guys.
That's
it. Covers
image.
Nothing.
It covers nothing.
What a play suit.
A play suit. No,
a play.
Oh God. What are they called? It's like
like a.
There's like
the spandex thing.
No. There's like a man suit, like
hairy chest one pieces.
No, not
that's
that
good.
Ew, that one too. But
yeah, they're really good.
I'm just dressing Koshy up like a little paper doll in my head.
Remember how this show was about video games?
Yeah, we'll put a photo on the social media so everyone can
everyone can get the image and
a
like
cosplay.
You know,
Photoshop just Kosh.
Yeah, Photoshop him
Kosh?
Into different outfits.
Photoshop Kosh.
I hate it. I hate everything about that.
Welcome to Zed Games, where we bully Koshy every week.
That's okay. I'm used to it by now. I'm the minority on this team.
Yeah, exactly. Well, so what we're actually here to talk about today, and not Merkins or anything like that, thank you. Caitlin is reviewing a game called Outer Worlds.
The Outer Worlds. I looked it up last night just to be like, is there a the?
There is.
It's the worst decision about that game.
I know.
It's
don't
like,
put Outer Worlds. That's
drop,
fine.
As Facebook said, drop the.
Drop the.
And put it all in caps. Facebook.
Yeah.
And then we're no longer Facebook, we're Facebook.
Nice.
FB, you know, like the Zuck.
Verb.
Hip.
FB.
I don't know why I messed that up in my head. When you said FB, I was like, best friends. Oh, no, wait.
That's
my
still wrong. That is still wrong.
Friends best. Are we friends best?
Book face.
And I'm also going to be talking about a 12-year-old game called Bioshock. How you doing? Because I only just bought it because I am a truly fake gamer girl.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved it. But I'm not going to be actually reviewing it because that's really dumb because it's 12 years old. But I'm going to be discussing some of the influences that I actually picked up on in the game and why it, like, tickled me good, if you get me.
Ooh.
I felt like a real good tickle me Elmo when I was playing it, you know?
Was it just the first one?
I played the second one too. I clocked them in a weekend.
Ah, that sounds about right.
Yeah, they were great.
So yeah, the first two then.
Yeah.
Cool.
Well, more like the first one, because the second one's a different villain.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh.
If you catch my drift.
Yeah, it works.
Yeah.
It works.
I know nothing over here.
You know nothing.
Just in general.
Evie Gibbons.
Excuse me, I'm your boss now.
Eat my entire butt.
Damn it, I shouldn't have given her the panel tonight. What have I done?
No.
Chaos. So I hope you enjoyed that little introduction, which was chaotic as usual. We're going to go break into the news now. So stay tuned for that and we'll be back for a little discussion afterwards. See you shortly.
Peace.
This week in gaming news, Google Stadia adds 10 games at the last minute to bring their launch to a total of 22 games. After receiving a lot of flack over their platform's initial lineup, Google Stadia's Phil Harrison took to Twitter to announce a near doubling of titles. adding these games: Attack on Titan, Final Battle 2, Farming Simulator 2019, Final Fantasy 15, Football Manager 2020, Grid 2019, Metro Exodus, NBA 2K20, Rage 2, Trials Rising, and Wolfenstein Youngblood. This isn't all for Google Stadia, as more announced titles won't make it to launch, but they have confirmed that Borderlands 3 and Ghost Recon Breakpoint will be there. As more mixed reviews of the platform come out, be sure to keep your eye out for anything that piques your interest on Google Stadia, for now is the time they are to be delivering on their high standard of promises. Riot Games is on the verge of a massive expansion, while their esports aspirations in Australia are set to diminish rapidly. Teams and players of the Oceanic Pro League, OPL, have been informed that the developer will no longer pay professional teams an operating subsidy next year. The subsidy provided teams the financial means to help offset operating costs for things like rent, internet, power, and other utilities. Riot Oceania have said, "We have removed the operating subsidy from the upcoming season in accordance with the plan teams were made aware of when they entered the league." A veteran of Australian esports who works with pro teams and isn't directly involved with OPL said, "Funding for league in Australia has gotten more difficult, and this news is very disappointing but not surprising. This is just reflective of the continued challenges we're seeing locally." Former BioWare and Bethesda developers start their own studio. Brass Lion Entertainment is focused on delivering games that explore a diversity of voices and cultures. Former Mass Effect designer Manvia Eyre said he wasn't getting out of game design entirely, but that he wanted to focus on new types of stories. Earlier this month, Eyre revealed that he has been working on an indie studio called Brass Lion Entertainment. Their first project is Corner Wolves, a narrative-focused game set in 1990s Harlem. Brass Lion was co-founded between Eyre and Sleeping Dogs project manager Bryna Dabby-Smith and former Bethesda environmental artist Rashad Reddick. Smith is primarily handling the business side of things. Reddick is building Corner Wolves in-game world that will have an anime-inspired design. DJ and Jay-Z producer Just Blaze has signed a contract with Brass Lion to help design Corner Wolf's musical tone, and Rise of the Black Panther writer Evan Narcisse is penning the game's story. That's all this week in gaming news.
How'd you guys enjoy that? Let's have a little discussion about the news.
I wasn't paying attention. What happened?
Yeah, mood. mood.
Sorry, I'm the one who actually
recorded
wrote it.
And recorded it.
You know what's happening.
You should know the most.
It's a bummer. It's an absolute bummer. The OPL.
Yeah, I'm sad. I'm sad because Australia has some of, like, we have a huge esports opportunity here in this country.
There is
a lot of money in esports. The fact that, like, they're cutting funding to our pretty much our only pro team for League of Legends, which is the biggest esports game in the world, is quite upsetting, to say the least. Because, like, I guess when you focus from a developer's perspective and indie development perspective, we have our own industry issues and a lot of things going on there.
Definitely.
But as a consumer, esports is something that is like, I guess like an extra, you could say.
You know,
so like to be able to view professional players, especially when you get into something that you really love, and a lot of people really love League.
I don't know why still.
Yeah, I don't know why either.
I played a lot of League.
Back in season two.
I have a Fanatic like jersey that cost me like 100 and
nice.
20 pounds.
Mine's all Counter-Strike stuff.
So expensive.
Yeah, they're expensive too.
Yeah. But I'm like, I was like a diehard fan, and it just kind of, I always end up going for Swedish teams because like they've got it going on.
They know their stuff.
And I don't really know many Australian teams.
No.
And the ones that I do, they don't always necessarily do or perform that well. But that's because there's so many things that set us back here in Australia that don't give us a competitive advantage or a competitive chance even. So like,
Internet.
It is disappointing.
Speed.
Well, it's not even that. It's more just like if you want to, if you you get to be the best team in Australia.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That's not a big region comparatively.
Yeah.
The only way that you can either get better is to go over to somewhere else. So you say you went to say South Korea, or if you went to America, or even Europe. Like one, that's super expensive for a team to put on.
Yeah.
But then most of the time they get over there and they get stomped anyway because they're just not as good.
But even like in a closer region, Australasia. And Asia just, like, dominate the esports franchise.
Depending on the game.
China, Taiwan, Australia. Yeah.
First-person shooters and that we're actually pretty good at. Mm. But if you go to StarCraft, League of Legends, Dota, things like that, we're not that great.
Yeah. Ugh.
Overwatch.
I mean, yeah, Overwatch is a bit of a weird one. Like, we do have our Contenders League.
Mm. It's very popular here in Australia, too.
It's pretty popular. Mm, yeah. But going against, like, LA Valiant and the guys over in the US and stuff like that, it's just like, there's no competition.
No.
Like, yeah.
It's disappointing because it's another untapped market for us with a lot of money in it.
Absolutely.
Yep. Well, it makes me sad.
They're building the Melbourne Fortress thingy.
Yes, Fortress is cool.
Yeah, that looks really cool. So at least they're, you know, even though Riot as a company is pulling out, kind of, with the little bit of funding that they're getting for now.
There's no reason to say that if things develop better here with you know, League of Legends, that they won't get their subsidy back.
Yeah. But there's still, that creates a slot for other companies to come in and be like, oh, hello, we'll buy more teams or sports teams getting rolled in with like esports and things like that as well.
Yeah,
so
that'd be good.
Silver lining.
Silver lining.
Possibilities are out there.
Yeah.
The future.
Hopefully.
The truth is out there somewhere. Yeah.
The truth is out there.
Just have to find it. The more you know.
On a more positive note, Google Stadia. Got 10 more games at the last minute.
Got some games.
Got some games.
Play Google games.
Stressing the network even more.
You play Google.
You play Google.
Go play Google game.
We talked about Google Stadia on here.
Sorry.
A little while ago. We talked about Google Stadia on here, I don't know, like a month or so ago.
I don't remember.
It's a subscription service that Google have made so that you pay however much, however often, and you have access to all these games.
The interesting thing is because I had to do sort of like a project where we looked at like a game, current game changer, and I focused my efforts on what Google Stadia are trying to do with cloud streaming or cloud gaming, basically. And I found it super fascinating because it has the potential to like revolutionize the industry.
It does. Mm-hmm.
If everyone around the world has consistent internet.
Yeah.
And that was sort of the conclusion that I came to with.
That's a big if.
Yeah. If.
If. And the reason I say if is because internet is at a point now where it's almost like a necessity to live. It's a bit like, in a Western sense.
Yeah.
You know, we need it for our jobs. We need it to apply for work. We need it for so much stuff now, paying bills, etc. Mm. To not have internet is ludicrous. In my day-to-day living, anyway.
Yeah, so it's like not having electricity or
pretty much.
Water.
Yeah, basically. And the thing is, that internet is only going to be at the forefront of technological advancements because we're going to be needing it more. It's going to need to be faster. It's going to need to be better. And we're going to need to be able to access it from anywhere. So as Australia slowly, eventually, one day, we hope, picks up its slack and we actually do have consistent, fast, NBN as promised, in quotations, internet... That's when we're going to see streaming platforms take off. Mm. Because the reality is, it's going to be good in the States. It's going to be good in pretty much most of Europe.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All of Asia.
All of Asia.
Yeah. For the most part, yeah.
But not here.
Yeah.
No. In an Australian sense, it's probably going to be super difficult for us to stream 60 frames per second on our phone playing, you know, Assassin's Creed Odyssey. Are you kidding me? Yeah. Good luck, right?
Yeah.
But it's not an impossible thing in the future.
Mm.
So I do think that, like, it has this huge potential to change the industry and it does have a huge potential for us in the future as gamers. Because, like, if you think about it, can you imagine just being like, okay, it's a bit like the Switch, but for every game.
Yeah.
Because you can, like, go, play Assassin's Creed at home on your TV.
Yeah.
Pick up your phone and continue playing as you get on the bus and so on.
You
and
mean
there
like
goes
the
all my phone battery.
Yeah, yeah there's a
you
lot
mean
of
like
things.
The Switch?
Like the Switch.
But like the Switch, except...
On any device.
On any
have.
Device. You, it's actually, it's a console generation without consoles. That's sort of like what it's paving. You will no longer need to have a PlayStation 4. And that's the point. It's going to come to a point where you don't need Xboxes. You don't need a Switch. You don't need any of these things because you just need access to the internet and an interface. You won't need expensive hardware like...
That'd be good.
Like, you know, your GeForce 2080, you know, graphics card. You won't need to spend all this money on this equipment because the servers and the cloud system will be able to handle it for you. You can play your phone. That is the future. I know they want it to be now.
It's not now.
It's not now for Australia, but...
But, again, it'll happen because there's a lot of money in this industry and there's a lot of reasons to advance that technology. So people can be as pessimistic as they want about it.
It would be
but
amazing.
But it's
going to
happen.
Yeah, yeah.
It'll happen.
Yeah. It's a very cool possible future, hopeful future.
Hopefully.
Hopeful future.
One day.
Games for everyone.
But at the moment, it's nothing because we are 64th in the world for monthly average speed.
Is Norway still number one?
Romania.
Because Norway was number one last I checked.
Singapore's first.
Singapore came out first.
Why can't it be 69?
That would have been nice.
Right?
That would have been. If we're going to be that low down, we might as well be that low down.
Norway is not even near the top.
Really? They used
Norway
to be.
They're 18th. I mean, they're still fast. Their average megabytes per second is 115.
Wow.
I have no idea what any of this means.
But Singapore is 194, so they take out first spot. Us, we are... Hang on.
Sounds
I think
like
it's
69th,
like,
right?
Yeah.
I should tell my nice poor housemate that she's made a terrible decision coming here.
Yeah.
Your internet's picked up back home.
Yeah, it's
yeah, go
terrible.
Back to Singapore.
I still think we should do that test where we send the carrier pigeon over with the USB to test how fast it would take to download like something like Modern Warfare.
Yes.
To get it down to like Melbourne or something like that.
Yeah,
that
would be cool.
Ah, these first world problems that we struggle with.
Yeah, they really are.
My internet too slow.
What? I only got standard definition. I want full HD.
I want Fortnite. Did you say fork knife?
Fork knife. Yeah,
where's
I'm hungry.
My 4K?
My TV's not even smart.
These are half the users, so it's okay.
Y'all remember 3D TVs? I do.
Oh,
yeah.
Gosh.
That was a thing?
That was
do you remember
a thing?
LaserDisc? Very brief.
I remember LaserDisc.
Let's not go too far.
I remember.
Showing your age.
I remember. Hi, Caitlin.
Hello.
Tell me about this game.
Is
it good game?
We get game. No. So I bought a game that's actually new.
You have money?
I had slightly more than I was expecting last
week.
So I was like, I'm going to buy a game that's new. Let's do it. So I bought The Outer Worlds, which only came out at the end of October. It is a sci-fi role-playing action adventure game.
I love it.
I turned it on, downloaded it. Turned it on and was like, oh my god, this is Fallout 3/ New Vegas.
Fallout
in
New
space.
Vegas.
Oh, is it by,
by the same
It's types. By Oblivion, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah,
so
Obsidian.
It's by Obsidian.
Leave me alone.
And the guys that directed Fallout or some of the Fallout games are the directors on it. So it feels like so much like a good Fallout game. But it's in space and it's colourful and it's not just brown.
Yeah.
I love you, Fallout, but, you know, the colour palette is limited when you're in a desert.
Yeah, Fallout New Vegas was a bit beige.
Yep. But it has the same, like, fun, witty dialogue, you know, just being stupid. You've got all these big, great guns and things to hit people with. And, oh, it's awesome. So I obviously haven't played all of it or much. Good, probably 24 hours in, I reckon.
Whoa, okay.
Played a
time,
lot.
Lady.
So, yeah, Kate got good Pokemon time. On the weekend, so we did have a gaming and air conditioning weekend. Yeah.
And over the weekend, it would have been great because it was like 34
it
degrees.
Disgusting.
It was disgusting. And it's still disgusting.
Yeah.
It's spring.
So.
It's spring.
So, yeah, it's fantastic. You play as a person who has been pulled out of hibernation, which is like cryostasis, to find out that the ship that you were on, which was going towards a new colony world, has been knocked off course.
New colony world.
Yeah. It's been knocked off course, out of its light speed, and it's just drifting aimlessly with all these people still frozen inside it.
Ooh.
So you get rescued, I guess, by this scientist who's like, yeah, sorry, mate, ship stopped. Can you do some stuff for me? I pulled you out of stasis, so...
Can you do some stuff?
There's another settlement that needs our help.
Yeah. So you're...
Don't.
Oh my goodness.
Can you go get something for me? No. So you go into the world and you start to learn about it. The company that owned the ship that you were on, what are they called? Spaces Choice. They pretty much run everything. So there's this weird
it's like Google
kind of,
and Disney.
Yeah. Process. It's like this weird kind of overarching. They control everything. They control literally each individual planet, what people do. You're allocated a job.
Disney.
It's pretty so you figure out pretty quickly that they are not the good guys. And
totalitarianism.
Yeah, you have the choice to either lean towards helping them or maybe not help them so much.
Ooh,
see,
I love choices.
You know, you can't beat them, join them.
Exactly. Or
yeah, submit to power.
Rail against them like I'm doing.
I'll be a rebel and, you know,
yeah,
be happy but die young, you know?
Exactly. I mean, I feel like that's some life advice right there. Go anyway.
Oof. All right then.
Oof. So every choice you make, every response that you make affects your relationship with the people around you.
What are the enemies?
Oh, the enemies. There's all sorts of fun bugs and critters.
Yeah, this is weird.
Bugs and stuff.
I'm just watching a bit of playthrough.
Bugs and stuff.
It's like these little kids. They look like kids.
Bugs and stuff.
Well, like little sisters.
Or kids.
They look like little people.
Okay, don't spoil me. I haven't played that much of a game,
I mean,
right?
I'm just watching a playthrough of the first 20 minutes, so surely you would have seen... I don't know. There's a campfire. It doesn't matter.
There's a campfire.
They're probably marauders.
okay.
One thing I did want to note about this game is there's some, like, really solid inclusion. Like, really solid already. So I'm only just started it. There's already... The first member that joined my party is asexual.
Yes.
And she's not just, like... It's not just hinted. She's straight up, like, yeah, I don't get into physical stuff.
Not into it.
Straight up. She's asexual, which is awesome. There's also a lesbian relationship, like, blossoming right now. And
love it.
Just in the start.
Now, see, the inner gay in me is like, the inner you say gay relationships, doesn't matter how good the quality is, I'll be there playing.
Right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You, as a person, can't romance people.
Bromance.
Bromance. You can't bromance or romance.
And with that, you've lost me.
There's no romance options, which I think would be cool because, yeah, you know me, I like a good romance. But it's fine. You get to have these people in your party and you can sort of help them out with problems that they have.
Nice.
So, like, yeah, one of the characters really likes a chick on one of the worlds. So I'm helping hook them up. Yep.
Just wingmaning.
Yep, just wingmaning, which is
space manning.
Awesome.
At this point, are you just Space Cupid?
Maybe.
With guns.
I love it.
Yeah, Space Cupid with guns and a big stick that I hit people with.
I mean, that sounds good to me.
Game idea. Thanks, gosh.
Big stick. Make the love. Yeah,
space,
it's great.
Space Cupid.
Yeah, so I'm really enjoying it. Having played Fallout, I'm really keen to see where it goes,
I'm
where
excited.
The story goes. You know, it's already quite a big world. You've got lots of different worlds and different areas in each of the worlds that you can sort of land on and go explore. And already the, like, gun weapon selection is so huge. I'm trying to, like, figure out which ones I use.
Oh, that's such a mood when you play Fallout. It's like, whoa.
Yeah, and because, you know, some weapons...
I'm glad they kept that.
Yeah, some weapons are better for certain enemies. Yeah. You've got to be careful that you don't accidentally hit the hit person button when you're standing in front of someone talking to them. Because you can just,
like... Like in Skyrim?
Like in Skyrim. Oh. You can just start, like, wailing on people and be like, whoa! Freedom that was, for everyone.
That was my favourite thing to do in Far Cry 5. Like, someone was talking to me and I accidentally, like, leant over on my controller and I just decked him one in the face. So then he said, stop that.
No, don't.
And I'm like, oh, sorry.
It's a bit like, you know how in Fallout and Skyrim, if you have attributes up to a certain level, so, like, because you have the option to level up a bunch of different things. So, like, your dialogue, which includes... persuasion, intimidation, those sorts of things. If you get up to a certain level, you can just sweet talk people instead of having to fight them.
Oh my god, I love speech.
Like glamour.
Yeah. Yeah, there actually is a machine that you can, like, press a button and it puts a hologram over you for a little while.
Yeah.
So you can sneak into places. There's a lot of fun little things. So
I love this.
If you like Fallout,
I noticed that there's a sneak.
Do it. There's a sneak, yeah.
You can sneak in this.
You can sneak.
I love being
stealthy. You can be a little sneaky person.
Stealthy and really good speech.
Yes. Yes. Oh my gosh, me too. If you've got really big armor on, like I do at the moment, doesn't
Tinder
work
profile.
Too good. Stealthy and good speech.
I can just
Stop.
Imagine you, like, trying to sneak around some
gunk,
area.
Gunk,
yeah.
Gunk.
And you're crouching. They spot you and you're like, I'm not here. And they're like, you're not there. And then they just
persuade.
Walk off.
Persuade.
Come on.
See me.
Donk,
yeah.
Through, like,
and then
and
it
stuff.
Just, like, does the Bethesda thing where you get stuck in a wall, like...
Must be in the wind.
The only criticism I have about this game is that the text is freaking tiny.
Oh,
it's
I
tiny.
Can see that. Yeah.
I have to wear my glasses
or
else my eyes, like, start...
My eyes!
Yeah, I start just losing it. But
there's no option to, like, enhance that?
There's a patch coming out.
Yeet.
So... Yeah, the last thing I read, they're releasing a patch very soon that will give you the option to change your text size, which is good because guess what? It's coming to Switch,
Yeah, I saw that.
Next year. I'm so here for Switch release.
It can't be on Switch with the text size it is
no,
now.
No, you'll be like zooming in with like a magnifying glass.
But yes, it's coming to Switch next year. It's currently out on PlayStation 4, which is what I'm playing it on.
Yeet.
PC. And it is on Xbox One.
Xbox
as well.
One.
So much fun.
I'm here for this. Yeah. I'm going to get that when I go
it's
home.
It's great. My friend, okay, I have a good friend in Perth. Nikki, if you're watching this or listening.
Watching.
Listening.
Magic.
If you're listening to this, thank
if
you.
If you're watching this with your ears.
If you're watching it with your ear holes, I really appreciate you.
I love
she
it.
She had been screaming about it for a long time and I was like, you know what, Nikki? I'm going to play it.
You know what? You're annoying me so much.
I'm
no.
just going to play it.
No, she always has game
spite.
Recommendations.
Out of spite.
You're listening to Zed Games.
This is the best radio station
in the world.
In the history of radio stations.
Ever.
Obviously.
China.
And welcome back. So I'm here to talk to you about Bioshock.
Bioshock.
Drugs.
Oh, I thought you said Bioshock.
Bioshock. Yeah, that's me. Bioshock.
Bioshock.
So I've titled this, my little note page here, is Bioshock and why it hits me just right.
Oh.
You're welcome.
An essay by Millie.
I'm
keen.
A slam poetry piece by Millie.
Bioshock hits me just right.
Oh, I hate it. I hate all of this.
Good. So I've only recently just played Bioshock, which is weird. And I know it's like 12 years old. I'm a fake gamer. Shut up.
Late gamer,
not a fake gamer. Right?
Jack's a fake gamer.
So I actually, which is really interesting because Caitlin brought up New Vegas and I mentioned New Vegas in here.
Hey!
So I've never actually spoken about it on the show in depth, but it's one of my favourite games.
Yes.
And it's one of the games that hits me just right. I love the aesthetics and the game presented like,
yeah,
like it blows your mind every
time.
It's
an awesome game.
And if it doesn't crash at Bethesda.
brutal.
But Bioshock sort of had that similar sort of tickle me good fantasy, which is interesting because Bethesda said they got the influence for New Vegas and Fallout 3 from Bioshock because Bioshock was released before them, which is fascinating because it was released in 2007.
Interesting.
I'm so old. So there's something that strikes me as quite similar between the two. Mm. So namely the characters of Robert House in Fallout New Vegas and Andrew Ryan in Bioshock. So obviously we're talking about Bioshock, but I will yell about New Vegas at some point in the future.
Okay.
Book me in.
Yeah, I'm booking it in.
Okay, so Andrew Ryan is the essential overlord of sorts of Rapture, which is a massive underwater city, which was intended to be an isolated utopia from religion, communism, altruism, and the American government. So
sounds
like a great man. And it's a
sounds like paradise.
Yeah, I know, right? So
I'll just learn to breathe underwater, we'll be fine.
Yeah. And he serves as the primary antagonist.
But you can't?
Interesting. Oof. Gosh.
Oof. We won't go there. He's a primary antagonist for the first half of the game. I won't spoil a 12-year-old game, but...
I mean...
There's a second antagonist. Twists, turns. Woohoo! Good times. But due to a civil war within Rapture, the city becomes a dystopia, and Ryan dissolves into paranoia, withdrawing from society and becoming a tyrant.
Ooh.
So now, let me tell you of who this reminds me of. A real-life man named Howard Hughes.
Oh.
Uh-huh. So, here's a little biography, and I'm sorry because I just went nuts. So, here we go!
All right, I'm ready.
So, Hughes gained fame by creating controversial films like Scarface. Not the new one that you know of. That was based on his original film. So,
oh, there you go.
For like the 1960s, it was pretty controversial.
Yeah.
And he founded the Hughes Aircraft Company because he loved planes. He's had to build planes. So he earned quite a lot of money, like almost billions of dollars.
Hmm.
And he was called an eccentric, which in rich people terms is he suffered from severe OCD.
Ah, oh, right.
Severe. He had to pick up things with tissues. He couldn't wear clothes for too long. Like severe OCD, which made him very good at building planes.
Right, yeah.
He had a phobia of germs and, quote from one of his friends, his passion for secrecy became a mania. Does that sound familiar at all?
Bit of paranoia?
A little bit of paranoia.
Yeah.
Talking about my mother.
Yeah, maybe. maybe. Who knows? As his life progressed, he developed a painful condition called allodynia, which causes pain response to things that wouldn't normally cause pain. So, like, he would try to cut his fingernails and that would cause him pain.
Oh.
Just wearing shoes would cause him pain. So he so he would often recluse himself naked and watch movies just to block his pain away.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Hughes, in 1966, moved to the Desert Inn in Las Vegas. A little bit of hint to Robert House there. Wonk, wonk.
Yeah.
And he stayed inside until 1968, not ever touching the curtains. So they went into the room to clean it, and the curtains were literally coated in dust and mildew.
God. Oh, wow.
Yeah. So his own wife filed for a divorce in 1970, claiming she had not seen Hughes for several years.
Oh, my God.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Hughes...
out of reasons, you know, to kind of break up with someone. Yeah.
Reasons. They just disappeared.
Haven't seen
it. Yeah. They are gone. Literally gone.
Yeah. So Hughes died in 1976, reportedly on board an aircraft. His reclusiveness made him unrecognisable. His hair and toenails were long, and he was severely malnourished. X-rays revealed 5 broken-off hypodermic needles in the flesh of his arms from injecting codeine into his muscles.
Oh,
God, poor dude.
Now...
that should have had a disclaimer.
Oh, I'm so sorry, everyone. I usually talk about weird stuff, so usually as soon as Millie comes on the mic...
Okay, just, we'll put a disclaimer every time we speak.
Put a disclaimer in the show notes.
Just that's why you need the soundboard.
Yeah, disclaimer.
Millie warning.
Now, I know I just did a small biography on a random man, but if you put it all together, what Hughes suffered through and created within his time, you ultimately get a more human story of what Bioshock is.
Mm.
That's quite fascinating.
Yeah. An eccentric millionaire runs away to create his own paradise, Hugh, Las Vegas, because
yes.
He ended up buying half of the Las Vegas Strip just to hide. So he kept moving between hotels when they'd kick him out. Huh. So he'd just buy that next hotel and be like,
yeah. There you go.
So, and Ryan, Rapture, and dissolves into reclusiveness and severe mental health degradation. A dependency on drugs weaved in between the muddled history of both men. While Ryan didn't partake in plasmids, which is the drug in Bioshock, he enabled his city to fall under the spell of drug dependency.
Right.
And it was really fascinating when once I saw that trigger warning, hypodermic needle sort of thing, is that that's how the splicers inject their drugs.
Okay. Oh.
With large hypodermic needles. And obviously their skin is falling apart and they're not even recognisable anymore.
Wow. So,
it's absolutely fascinating when you really think into it how much influence like Howard Hughes had on this game.
Yeah.
And while obviously compared to the man himself, Robert House is a lot more comparable, but like his whole history is woven into Bioshock's history and they've taken it and like split it off into like weird underwater robots and Art Deco-ness.
Yeah.
But it's still there. Like as soon as I heard Andrew Ryan speak in the game, I was like, hello, Howard.
Wow.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, it's really interesting to look at, and that's why I loved it so much.
That's so interesting.
And I love it.
I really, that's like, you've gone to like some quite...
She goes deep.
Depth.
I go deep.
She goes real deep. Yeah, looks into it.
Womp, I feel the surface is so far above me now.
I love...
Welcome to Rapture.
I love when games like take inspiration from real life things that have happened and make it... so that you can play through it, experience it, but also put their own twist on it as well, because then you get curious, you go read about it and learn some stuff, but also, I don't know, it gives you more of an insight into maybe even like what those people went through.
Makes me think really of Detroit Become Human as well, because they sort of took a lot of influence from a few movements, like such as Black Lives Matter and even I suppose you could say the LGBT rights.
Yeah.
Pride. So when they drew on that, like when I was actually playing through Detroit Become Human, it became very surreal to me because it was so relevant to present day conflict, but also
it's just constantly
relevant. You can see reality within the sphere of the game and you can look at things through a different lens from the safety of your couch.
But it's one of those games where it's like almost constantly relevant. The world is always, like, arguing against someone's rights. And it's just, like, they sort of, not played it safe, but, like, they put androids in place of race or sexuality or gender.
I guess you can project yourself onto them
exactly.
A little bit and sort of...
I mean, they are technically a blank slate without the skin.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Really fascinating to think about. Like, I'll happily break down Detroit at some point.
I had some serious moments near the end of that game where I was just, I'd made some discoveries about certain characters.
Oh, yeah.
And then I was like, immediately after I'd discovered this particular thing that I cannot say, but
say it.
Give you the gist, it's like I discovered that
I've screamed enough about Detroit.
Was a robot that I cared so deeply about. Yes. I didn't know that they were an android.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know
and
exactly.
And when
what
I you're found
about.
Out, I immediately cared less about them.
Right.
And it wasn't even intentional. It was like a knee-jerk unconscious thing that happened. I was like, "Oh, well, what the hell do you matter anymore?" And because I thought that, my very next thought was, "Holy crap." Like I couldn't
believe the game's conditioned you.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, not that it had conditioned me. It was more that the bias I had about the value of life.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that made me question my own internal feelings of what is life.
Mm-hmm.
Because once I discovered they were a robot, I went, I don't care anymore about you. You're not alive.
Yeah.
And then I went, but that's the whole point of this story.
We are alive.
Yeah.
So I, I kind of had my own, I'm getting goosebumps. I had my own revelation in that moment.
Yeah, man.
Games, they do things.
It's
they
my
do.
Favorite thing to do is things. Break things down and like really look at the truth behind why someone created it, not just it good game, I make game.
Yeah.
Google bang bang.
But can I click the good things goodly? Click, isn't that click. How it all it is?
Bleep, bloop, bleep, bloop,
yeah.
Bloop.
You just click a lot. Hashtag a league.
League. We've come full circle now. Good
Stop
job.
Stop it.
Wow. Get the show's come help. All the way back around.
Yeah. But I'm glad I had a little soapbox. But also, can I just like yell briefly? There's like, I completed two games in like a weekend, which is a problem.
Oof,
I have
well
an
done.
Issue. Yeah, Bioshock and Bioshock 2.
Slow clap.
But I'm playing Bioshock Infinite right now, and it's not as good.
Oh,
It's a different. Like the gameplay gets boring pretty quickly.
It's so boring.
But like the story is kind of different. It's good in a different way.
I like the story. That's the only thing holding me in. Elizabeth's
but it's
like
so
pretty.
Yeah.
But.
And the dynamic that they have, but like the gameplay is so boring.
It's so boring.
Yeah, it's like that's why if you just turn it down to easy,
yeah,
like
a lot of people, mine's on easy. Yeah.
Yeah, like a lot of people play it and they're like, oh, the story's like gameplay is so hard, but it's worth it for the story. I'm like, you don't care about the gameplay. They're like, no, I just want to have the story. I'm like, play it on easy.
Yeah,
then?
That's what I play Bioshock on because I cared about the story.
I like story modes.
Yeah,
games. I did that with Horizon Zero Dawn as well.
Yeah,
Mass Effect did that too, didn't it? Mass Effect 3. They have like a cinematic mode where like the story, the gameplay is very, very minimal.
Yeah, it's still easy, but like you don't. It's easy. I mean, you still have to fight and stuff, and it is challenging still, but it's not. You know, like super, super hard.
You don't have to work
anything.
Out all the perks and all the like the very. Very hardcore tactical elements of it. Yeah.
Definitely. The Outer Worlds also has a story mode.
Yeet!
Good.
Where it's not that difficult.
I need to play that. It's one of my things, but it came out the same day as Modern Warfare.
There's so much coming out at the moment.
Yeah, I can't keep up. Yeah. It's ridiculous.
Speaking of, we're going to talk about Pokemon next week!
Pokemon next week!
Pokemon!
You going to catch an Eevee?
Got to catch him.
I got one for free.
Oh my god, your name is Eevee.
I'm going to play a Pokeball,
yes,
actually.
Caitlin, my name is Eevee.
My name's Steve.
Look, it took some time, but I arrived at the station eventually.
It took you 3 months.
Eevee, I'm going to peg a Pokeball at you next week. I hope you realize.
Got to catch him. Oh,
going to catch him.
Eevee.
That's meme-worthy content that we put on the socials.
Oh yeah.
That's throwing in a Pokeball.
Can you make the noise?
Eevee!
Oh my god!
Eevee!
What?
Eevee!
Eevee!
That's the noise of the Eevee.
It's been a lovely show, everyone, today.
Eevee! Eevee!
We'll see you guys next week.
I should be ending the show right now. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. We sincerely appreciate you. Check us out on our socials on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. We post memes sometimes if we're not being lazy and really tired from work. We love you.
Slash we'll post memes.
All the time.
We'll do more of them.
We'll post memes. No worries. But hope to see you next week. We'll see you guys little.
Eevee!